The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Yesterday, thousands of Leaving Cert students received their results around the country. Though a few would have been absolutely over the moon, many will have been disappointed and worried about what their results will mean for their chances in next week's CAO Round 1 offers. Well, joining me now to reflect on the results and to look towards those CAO offers is guidance counsellor and education columnist Brian Mooney. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So the headlines from yesterday, I mean, this is as regular as a seasonal change. We get the results. We get a few people delighted,
yeah.
A few people desperately disappointed, and then maybe people unhappy about process.
Well, let's look at what's changing. Last 2 years, we've had 15% increase in the number sitting the exams. About 7.5 last year, 7.5. So you're adding 6,500. This is the reflection of the peak of the Celtic Tiger boom, birth, 2008, 2009, and then it falls off a cliff. So effectively, the pressure on the system is huge. And it's been the second year since we've reduced the grades down from where they had stood for about 4 years, which was about 7% over what they had been before COVID. So last year, they came down by an average of one. So say, for instance, last year, your average student might have got 4 to 5 additional grades. This year, 3 to 4. And then next year, obviously, one further down. So it's dropping.
So there are kids who are disgruntled that they'll be competing with people last year who had a better bonus than they have. But they might reflect that next year, they'll be, if they defer for a year, they'll be competing with people who are less well off.
Yeah, well, if you look at it this way, Pat, there are 55,000 people out there who, having got their Leaving Cert results, are in the CAO process. Not everyone who does the Leaving Cert looks at the CAOs, sure. But there are 55,000 of them. There are 20,500 students who did the Leaving Cert previously in the same competition. So for every 5.5 students in this year...
So this is an accumulation of students who qualified through the CAO, but who have deferred and are competing with this year's cohort.
Exactly. And it's always been as such, but it never mattered so long as everyone was on the same playing field.
Yeah.
But as we began to bring down the enhancement... Those people have had an advantage in terms of the fact that, if you were 3 years ago, you possibly have 2 more grades added.
Okay. Do we have any evidence as to whether kids are deferring deliberately to get that advantage? Or is it just, take a gap year, do something else for a year?
Start a course, drop out, take a gap year, do a PLC, whatever. A whole variety of reasons. The numbers, we never highlighted them before, but they were always there. But we're highlighting them now by virtue of the fact that if you have a previous result and going forward, as you say, you will have an advantage where, you're really tight for the last place on the course.
Now, there are those who felt maybe that they didn't get a result that reflected their feeling about their performance on the day. When do they get a chance to check, first of all, their grades and then the content of their paper?
On Tuesday, they'd be able to look at the component of their marks. In other words, what the original teacher gave them, what enhancement they got, and did that enhancement bring them over the next grade level? If you had done that process in 2024, 68% of your grades would have been upgraded. In other words, you would have gone a higher grade in 68% of your subjects. Last year, it was 55% of your subjects. This year, it's 35% of your subjects.
So, okay, so they basically mark it fair as fair.
Correct.
And then they enhance it.
Correct. And the enhancement has been dropping since 25. Yeah. So the height of the enhancement was 24, 25, one step, 26.
Okay, so if you got an enhancement that got you into the next grade, there's no point in protesting, really, is there?
Well, no, there is, because effectively...
Because you're not going to get another uplift.
Yeah, right? No, but here's what can happen, Pat. You look at your paper. So what you're looking at is, was the original mark that the teacher gave you when he marked the script fair?
Yeah.
If you feel it wasn't... You can then view that script next weekend, Saturday, Sunday, next weekend. The vast majority of it online now because it's all scanned and it's online, right? If that is then recorrected, It'll be recorrected completely from you by another examiner, another teacher, the results of which will be on the 25th of September. If the teacher gives you, say, for instance, an additional 5 marks, that will then be re-enhanced to where it would have been if you'd had those 5 marks now. So there is an advantage in the sense that, but what you have to look at, the student needs to look at on Tuesday, is not the enhanced grade. Was the original mark by the teacher what I should have got? Do I see anything where I think I should have got other marks?
Is this a no-lose situation? I mean, will they ever downgrade you if they say, God, you...
Theoretically, they say it is. But effectively, I've looked at this for so many years, Pat, now. The average upgrade is about 20%. Of those that are checked.
Okay.
So you have a 1 in 5 chance. If you don't check it, you have no chance. So effectively, you know, why not?
Now, later on, we'll be taking questions from our listeners, our parents of some of the students involved. 087-1400-106 by WhatsApp is the easiest way to get those questions to us. But now we're going to have the CAO first round offers.
On Wednesday at 2.
Okay. What are we expecting, given that the Minister for Higher Education has announced more places? Will it have an impact on points?
It certainly will where those places are in place. And yesterday we had a major announcement from the Minister in which he's pointing out that he's going to roll out 2,600 additional students in healthcare programmes, 268 additional nursing and midwifery places each year, 151 additional pharmacy places, 80 additional veterinary medicine places, 78 additional medical medicine places, and 35 additional dentistry places. So it's about the pace at which they can be integrated into the system. How much of this has already been done?
In other words, has he been talking to the academic institutions?
Exactly. In other words, have they got clearance for this? How many of those places will be available on Wednesday? Because if they are and are offered out to students, then the points will obviously go down because the point system operates on the base. The point published is the last person through the door. So if you've got 10 more people through the door, the points are dropping. So effectively, you've got a couple of things going on, Pat. You have 55,000 people whose grades, say at H1, were down by on average 2% this year. So that's an easing of what we had pre-COVID. If you look at COVID, just to give you an insight, pre-COVID, 1,000 people, 1,000 to 1,200 a year were getting over 600. Since COVID, it's been about 3,500. And about 250 people were on the 625 before COVID. It's been about 1,000 to 1,200 during the enhancement period. Yeah. So as we begin to ease that should have an effect on points. If the minister puts in extra places, that should have an effect on points going down. But you've got 6,000 extra kids in the system. You know, 5,000 of them applying to the CAO. That's pushing it in the opposite direction.
In the opposite direction. Now, when you talk about 2,000 extra places in healthcare between nursing and midwifery, medicine, veterinary, all the rest, what kind of a percentage is that of the total number of healthcare courses? I mean, is it a 10% uplift or...?
Well, over a period of time, it's quite significant. If you go back to FOTRL, the FOTRL report on medical education, at that stage, it was 318 places in the entire system for Irish and EU candidates. We're now over 900, including the, you know, and then we have the postgrad degrees, etc., that you can get through, once you have an undergraduate degree. So we are really significantly investing in the last number of years. And these were the expensive places. These were the ones we couldn't have afforded in the past because they really are expensive because they've all got placements in hospitals.
Sure.
And that, you know, there's a lot of...
But is there any guarantee that these extra places announced by the minister will actually go to locally sourced candidates rather than out-of-staters huge amounts of money?
Oh, no, these are directly relating to the CAO system. The universities have complete freedom to a certain extent to bring in the internationals, provided they provide the places that are funded by the HEA for Irish and other EU students.
Because there's always that complaint that we educate loads of people for the rest of the world.
Yes.
And the reason for that is money. Colleges earning money.
It's a totally financial transaction, and universities will, where there is a market, bring in those students.
Now we hear more about apprenticeships than ever before. Yeah, yes. I don't know whether the people whose bent is academic are even thinking about apprenticeships. So what do you say to those people who say no, I want a white collar job. I don't want to be dirtying my hands.
Here's the thing. I mean, the apprenticeship structure, you're paid from day one. And in the past, as you know, it was the construction industry and the motor industry. And, you know, they are still, try and get a tiler, try and get a plumber, try and get an electrician. You know what I'm saying? And effectively, those trades are still there. But we now have up to 90 apprenticeships about across every sector of the economy. One that I'm really interested in is a new Level 8 social care apprenticeship with UCC and Munster Technological University. And it's trying to create a pathway to a very different audience. And this social care apprenticeship is supported by TUSLA and the Oberstown Children Detention Campus. Because let's be honest, Pat, if you are, you know, a young lady who has done social science and you're in a relatively good school, etc., and you end up in Oberstown working with a client base which
there's a cultural morass between the two.
Exactly. Whereas if you now, without high CAO points, through an apprenticeship route, maybe possibly coming from, you know, an understanding of the culture of those that are going to end up, you're likely to stay there rather than possibly say, you know what, I might be doing something else. So the issues that we may be having now in relation to Oberstown and staffing, etc., could be directly related to some of the apprenticeship structures that we're now looking at putting in place.
A text here, the tertiary further education programme, this may help with stress levels for pupils and parents. It's not advertised enough and an excellent way to get your degree.
Well, Pat, I was the person who actually launched it on behalf of the minister 3 years ago, and I was very pleased to do so. It is a fantastic opportunity. And if anybody wants to go to nto.ie, there are tertiary degrees there across 24 of our 26 counties, which don't require you to have CAO points, and it's based on suitability and your attitude towards it, and there'll be an interview process, etc., and they are still open for the current year. So if you don't get an offer on Wednesday, look at the tertiary degrees offers.
And lots of questions coming in for Brian Mooney, columnist, education columnist and career guidance expert, who's back with me now. Brian, good morning again.
Good morning, Pat.
We'll start with the questions. I got 601 points. The course I want is 625 in Trinity.
Yes.
I intend to have a look at my marking scheme and maybe I might get an uplift. But the problem is the results for the uplift won't happen until September 25th. The course begins on September the 15th.
Right.
What are my chances of getting a place if I do get the uplift and qualify then with my points?
We have had cases in the past, Pat, where universities have said that, yes, you're guaranteed that place, but right now the place is filled. Some universities may actually put some places aside knowing that this is going to happen on the 25th of September. Some of them may operate on the basis of, you know, we'll fill it now, and if people drop out in the first few weeks, well and good. So it basically depends on the policy within that specific department as to whether, in fact, they put places aside or not.
Mm. Otherwise, you get your place, but you might have to defer because you won't qualify for it until next year then, if the course has started and there's no room.
Exactly. It's down to the policy of the university, and it's also down to you, because you can actually choose to defer it and accept it for next year. And, you know, if you do accept it and try and go ahead, then you're trying to catch up with maybe a fortnight's lectures or whatever. Mm. And it's up to you, basically.
Sometimes courses have common modules.
Yes.
And you might qualify easily for one.
Yes.
But it's not really the one you want. Is there scope for changing within the college from one course to another if you demonstrate your prowess, for example?
Well, let's be technical here, Pat. The process of allocating places is strictly a matter for the CAO up to when they cease to offer places, which is about the middle of October. And then they close the file on 2026.
And that's it.
And that's it. They have no involvement beyond that.
So if you went to your tutor in college after that date and said, by the way, I think, you know, there's a few dropouts you've had there in the course I really want, could you bump me up?
Well, there is no mechanism within the CAO to get offered it at that
stage. That's over, though.
That's the point I'm making, that effectively there is a possibility that if there is a place, effectively, so long as the CAO has signed off on the process, there is a freedom there, which may or may not occur, but we would never know that, would
now,
we?
A more general question about the allocation of places. There's a whole series of allocations that happen before open season next Wednesday.
Yeah. Effectively, when the CAO get the final application data, which is probably the end of May, really, the beginning of May, then there are an offer round in the beginning of July, which is to all of those over 23 years of age who are classified as adults, And there are about 6,500 places offered out at that stage.
That's the mature student
route. That's the mature student route, right. And then in the beginning of August, they offer out the places mainly, again, another 6,500 places, mainly to those who have done post-Leaving Cert courses. Now, some of the postgrad medical places are offered at that stage, but it's only a couple of hundred places. And effectively, I was just looking there, and I published it in the Irish Times in my piece on Thursday. Yes, on Thursday. And that was effectively in UCD, I gave a list of all of the places that have been offered under that FE route. And you're looking at science, 20 places, law, okay. 9 places, you know, all of the top point faculties. So effectively, there is about 20% on some courses, but at least 10% in virtually every course. Now, they do not offer PLC places in medicine and veterinary. But, you know, okay. Other than that, and then we get to now, if you know what I'm saying.
There's a general question about the level playing field. Yeah. For example, a H1 is a H1. And correct. you get those points which contribute to your overall score.
Correct.
However, some courses, it's much easier to get a H1 than in others. For example, if you do a minority language,
yes,
you've got an 80% chance maybe of getting a H1. If you do English, yeah, you have 4% or less chance of getting a H1.
This is a pattern every single year. If you look at the actual, you know, continental European languages, or specifically this year, look at Mandarin Chinese. The number of students in the Leaving Cert taking Mandarin Chinese has gone up by, is it 48% this year? And I think there was about 650 people who are mainly, you know, native Chinese speakers. They're not Irish people. There may be a handful of Irish people taking Mandarin, but effectively, so there has been, you know, an influx of young Chinese people into our education system. And I've seen it in some of the schools in my own local area, where there is a significant presence of young Chinese students. And their exam effectively is about being able to speak and write Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah. They don't have to learn Mandarin Peg.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't indeed. Because obviously our officials, in terms of drafting a curriculum, really, you know, their knowledge and their capacity to actually set a paper is probably based on, you know, whether you can actually master
and then
the language.
Have teachers who can teach
exactly
the Horace's Odes in Mandarin.
Exactly. So yeah, there is a balance. Now, you know, they might suggest, you know, if you talk to the State Exams Commission, they might suggest that if someone is a Chinese citizen, that they might struggle with history from an Irish perspective, or maybe the Irish language, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That somehow it's a balancing out of the fact that they're coming into another culture and etc. But I mean, you're right. At the end of the day, if you're taking one of these languages, the chances of getting a H1 are quite high.
Okay. So even if you're Irish and you're doing Urdu or Mandarin or Polish or whatever,
yeah,
you have a better chance of getting an H1 than you do in English.
You haven't indeed.
Your native tongue.
Yeah.
Just wondering, what are the chances of getting CK402, which is the Chemical and Biological Sciences in UCC? I see there are only a few places for PLC students, yeah, and much competition for these places. Or is there a good chance?
Well, at the end of the day, if you look at the points for last year, you can allow for the fact, as we said in the first hour, that there are 5,000 additional applicants this year, but at the same time that the 55,000 students who sat the Leaving Cert this year have had a reduction in the enhancement process. There's no way of being specific, because it's down to the individual college. They're the people who determine how many adults they let in, how many PLC places were offered and taken up, because quite often there aren't actually sufficient PLC candidates, okay, for the PLC places. But again, it's down to the individual faculty.
I hear a lot of discussion about apprenticeships on trades, but not much on HGV careers. Surely there's a national shortage of HGV drivers.
There is indeed. And I mean, you know, obviously, there are training programs available through all of the various trucking companies. And I know that the you know, CIE offers training programs, etc. But it's very, very difficult to actually find people to actually. I saw recently, wasn't there a piece recently about that the Dublin Bus are bringing in, is it South Africans,
yeah,
and training them literally to find drivers? So it's maybe, is it a cultural thing, Pat, that we are beginning to find, as we have seen in other societies, that, you know, certain jobs are no longer attractive for
some. Wait till AI gets to work on many of the entry-level jobs.
Absolutely.
My highly intelligent son got 288 points yesterday, failing 3 of all higher-level exams. He had been interested in engineering, but because he failed maths, this looks like it's not an option. We're all very upset. especially considering his abilities. Has Brian got any advice as to where to go from here?
Absolutely. Do a PLC course for the year. Look at the, you know, go on to Qualifax and look at further education, or go on to the Sulis website and look at the full list of PLC within your geographic area, and see, is there an engineering or technology PLC that will enable him to actually test his skills in that area. Sure. And at the end
and
of
open
year,
the pathway.
And open the pathway.
I'm just wondering, 288 points, and he failed all three of the higher level papers, highly intelligent. Yeah. I wonder, was the exam, you know, on the, was it the exam process that did for him, and the PLC process is kinder?
This strikes me, you know, from my background as a teacher for over 43 years, ultimately, there are students who really learn really, really well by doing things, and there are students who learn really, really well by listening to teachers teaching. Maybe he's a very practical, hands-on student, and he needs to look at kind of options and careers, maybe through the apprenticeship route, and certainly through the PLC route.
My daughter hopes to be offered a place in UCC, but due to ill health, will have to defer. Yeah. How does she do this and ensure that she gets her place next year?
When you get your offer from the CAO on behalf of UCC on Wednesday at 2 p.m., you immediately contact the admissions office of UCC. You don't go anywhere near the CAO. You inform them that you wished, and you obviously they have a way of submitting it formally through an email or whatever, and they will then confirm that to you, and they will then let the CAO know. After that has been done, she then reapplies to the CAO after the beginning of November, when the CAO process opens up again, and she lists only that course as her option. She is then guaranteed that course in the CAO. If for any reason she'd put any other programme other than that, it's no longer a secured deferred place and she's in an open competition. But if she wishes to secure it, simply list that course and the place will be offered to her in round one in 2027.
But she goes through the CAO process
again. She goes
through
the CAO process again.
Veterinary has two new courses in Southeast TU and ATU. Yeah. What impact is that likely to have on points? First place choices are tough.
The points for veterinary this year will be very interesting because, as you say, Pat, there is going to be a course offered up in Donegal and one down in the southeast, and they're adding 40 places in each course to the existing 82 places which are currently offered to Irish students in UCD in veterinary. The number of applicants for veterinary has exploded this year, probably because people saw that this option was going to open up. They're almost doubled. So effectively, I suspect that the points in UCD will not go down at all. And I suspect that if there are any reduction in points, it will be no more than possibly 12 points. And I wouldn't be surprised if, in fact, they all came in at 601. But you could get 589 in Donegal or Carlow based on the volume of applicants to those particular programmes.
A final comment here. The Leaving Cert is overkill for a construction apprenticeship, in my opinion. A junior cert should be all you need to start an apprenticeship. I started at 14. I now own a successful engineering company. That's from John in Newbridge.
You don't need the Leaving Cert for an apprenticeship. You know, at the end of the day, if you have the junior cert, you know, you may have the Leaving Cert, and the vast majority of them will have it. But effectively, there's not a requirement to have a Leaving Cert to apply for an apprenticeship.
Brian, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from you on the airwaves over the coming days as the offers are made. But for the moment, Brian Mooney, Career Guidance Counsellor and Education Columnist, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.